I've got a Bible here I've been preaching out of ever since God first dealt with me about giving my life totally to Him. I can't really say God dealt with me about going into the ministry. He dealt with me about just surrendering my life to Him. In Luke, the 24th chapter, Jesus had just been crucified, and this is Luke's account of all this. And He had gone through this death, burial, and resurrection. And now He was meeting again with those that He had been with before He died. And a lot of details were involved here. But at this point, in the last part of the 24th chapter of St. Luke, in verse number 41, while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, He said unto them, "Have ye here any meat?" And they gave Him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And He took it and did eat before them. And He said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." In other words, He was telling them the fact that I was dead, and now I'm alive. And the fact that I ate before I died, and I'm going to eat now, because everything concerning Him has to be fulfilled. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, a lot of things that a lot of people don't understand, but I'll tell you somebody that did understand, and it comes out in the next verse. Then He opened their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." Now, when He rose from the dead on that third day, and when He showed Himself alive again as a man, from that point forth, a lot of things happened. But He just went ahead and gave a, as far as I'm concerned, this is the Great Commission, more defined, because what Luke is saying about what Jesus said is the same conversation that took place that you read about in Matthew, the 28th chapter, and verse 19, where people commonly call that the Great Commission. There are several scriptures, and you put them all together, and they end up with what was said on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:38 being the bottom line of it all. Luke, the 24th chapter, verse 47, Jesus said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Everybody repeat after me. Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. This is the only thing that those followers of Jesus Christ who had been blessed and had their understanding opened by Jesus Himself, this is the only thing that they were told to go and preach. And they were told this directly from Jesus Christ. That's not saying that nothing else should be preached. I'm just telling you there's a lot of stuff going on today that is so far from this. In the name of preaching, in the name of teaching, in the name of religion, in the name of Christianity, it makes you wonder sometimes where people are getting their callings from. You may be seated. I'm not here to be argumentative today, and I'm not here to cast stones. But I'm in a process of change. Been in this process ever since God gave me the Holy Ghost. Nothing's changed from back then till now, except more determination to do what I know God told me to do then. and to be what I know God told me to be then. And I'm talking about years ago. Years ago, what came with this Holy Ghost was an awareness that with me I have the strength that I need to do what God would have me to do. To be what God would have me to be. Same goes for every one of you. If you receive the Holy Ghost is the power of God that enables you to live for Him. When He told them to be witnesses unto Him in all the world, He knew that that would be something that could be obtained because He was going to give them the power to do it. When you got the Holy Ghost, you can do what you couldn't have ordinarily done. How in the world were they going to be witnesses to all the world without His presence, without His power, without His being with them at all times? You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And He led them out as far as to Bethany, and He lifted up His hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while He blessed them, He was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Now let's go to the book of Acts. In Acts, we continue the writing of the same writer. Starting in chapter 1, he says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day which He was taken up, after that He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments to the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom He also showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, Ye have heard of Me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons." Everybody say, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power." I want to ask you all a question. Then why is it that everybody is so hung up on end time prophecy, and not hardly anybody's preaching repentance and baptism in Jesus' name? The same reason that people are teaching all kinds of other things and denying the power of God. But we got a world out here that is reachable. God has put it in the hearts of man to reach for a higher power, to seek after something better in life. If all life has to offer is what you see on the streets of Norwich, then life is pretty terrible, isn't it? It's a sad thing to live in this old world. And yet, when you try to show a lot of people the truth, there's usually somebody else just around the corner that has another opinion. Somebody that seems to think they've got the answer, and it's not what Jesus commanded. Read my books. Check out our literature. Come to our church. Listen to our ideas. Let's debate this issue. And if you talk about the name of Jesus, it's almost as if you've hit them in the face with a ball bat. They don't want to hear about the name of Jesus. You know why a lot of people don't want to hear about the name of Jesus? It's because they're so full of devils that it bothers their devils. It's the devil that doesn't want to hear the name of Jesus. Because a longing soul wants to hear it. Only the people in bondage by Satan and his followers don't want to hear about the name of Jesus. But we've got the power to break through that. The Holy Ghost that we have has the power to break those chains. Jesus has showed that he's able to cast devils out and set people free. And we have received that power, and we don't need to deny that power. Instead, we need to proclaim the power that has been promised to all of us. And then see what it is that God would have us to do. What is it that he wants us to do? I can tell you. It's right there in front of us. Go and preach that repentance and remission of sins is to be preached in his name. Why do we need to spend a lot of time talking to people about hair, clothes, rings, tobacco, smoking, drinking? They're going to have plenty of time to learn that's not good for them. And they're going to have plenty of time to be taught about a lot of other issues that divide people who say they are Christians. Marriage, divorce, wine, grape juice, pre, post, mid. I could go on and on, naming things that cause people to turn against one another when we've been commissioned by God to love one another. We've been commanded of God to show ourselves friendly. And we have been told from the very beginning that the message to preach to this whole world is repentance and remission of sins. Beginning at Jerusalem. And he didn't tell us when to stop it. Let's praise him. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations. If there has ever been a time that that opportunity is upon the face of those who know this truth, it is right now. This is the time to act, if there ever was a time, to go among all nations and proclaim. It's time for apostolic people to stand up and don't be intimidated by religion. It's time for truth people filled with the Holy Ghost to be counted and to be able to say with sureness, you know, we're not divided. We're not fighting. We're not against each other. We have the Holy Ghost. How can the Holy Ghost be divided against itself? All we need to do is get back to the unity of the faith and do what Jesus told us to do. Find our brothers and sisters around this world who want to preach repentance and remission of sins. Yeah, but what about all this other stuff they believe? Well, it's not your place, it's not my place to police the world. It's not our place to go amongst all nations and try to figure out which preacher believes what about anything. If they're preaching repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, it's our place to join in and say, that's right, let's keep preaching it, brothers. You preach it over there, I'll preach it over here, you preach it over there. Look, there are a lot of crazy things going on out there. And if I wanted to, I could talk about snake handlers, branomites, and all kinds of crazy wackadoodles going out and preaching in the name of Jesus. But if the name of Jesus is being preached, that's what they're told to do. Preach the name of Jesus. In his name, devils are cast out. Best way to get the devils cast out of all the people that's not doing it your way is join them in preaching this and obeying Jesus. Obedience to Jesus will cast out devils. It'll cast out false doctrine. After all, doesn't the Word teach us that the Holy Ghost, which has this power, will lead us into all truth? So if somebody has the Holy Ghost and has been baptized in Jesus' name and is out there preaching repentance and remission of sins, and that Holy Ghost is leading them into all truth, why are so many people claiming to be preaching this truth, backstabbing one another? dividing themselves and secluding themselves and saying, I have no fellowship with that one. I don't have any fellowship with that one. I can't talk to that one because he believes this about the rapture, or that one doesn't believe it exactly like I do about finger rings, or that one over there doesn't see it like I see it, or our church sees it different. Look, there's only one body of Christ, and either you're going to be in the body or you're going to be a sore that needs to get healed, or scrape the scab off of the body. God's looking for a peculiar people, meaning a special people, who are not afraid of the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost, who are willing to stand up and say, look, Jesus told us to preach repentance and remission of sins among all nations. So the guy standing next to you says, well, that's what I preach. Or somebody's just witnessed to somebody and that's what they testified about. You don't have to be a preacher to obey Jesus. We're all called to be witnesses. So somebody testified about, hey, this is exactly what I'm all about. You know, really, the more we look at our instructions to redeem the time, the more I'm convinced that that has a lot to do with doing what Jesus said. And in the wisdom of Christ, in the wisdom of Christ, he did not give a lot of instructions of what to talk about other than repentance and remission of sins. Why do you suppose it is? Don't you know that Jesus knows a lot of stuff? He knows that the way of humanity is a way of failure. It's a way of disaster. It's a way of degeneration. The way of humanity is you stop praying, you stop listening to God, you stop being close as you once were. The next thing you know, you're believing things that are suggested. It's just in the air. Just suggestions just come to you. You don't know why you thought of it. Suddenly dawns on you, hey, there's something, and I believe this. And you don't even consider all the scriptures. It's just that it seems like your mind kind of gets numb in one area. And things you once saw and understood, you kind of close that out because you see something else. It's just a little bit different. So people get all hung up on their hang-up now. They start saying, well, you know what? I need to promote this because everybody needs to see this. Not hardly anybody. So people get out on a tangent all by themselves saying, look, we had a guy here just a couple of weeks ago, a visitor here. Most of you don't know what this took place, but I keep my ears open when somebody new walks in. He sat down here. He looked nice. Didn't smell too good, but he looked nice. And in fact, he stunk. But we don't hold that against anybody. But here's what I observed. A man of God was up here pouring his heart out, was preaching. And he was listening to him and searching the scriptures and following him. And after a while, he came over and sat down right next to me. And he said, you folks need to start preaching about being servants of one another. Instead of listening to the preacher, the man of God, here's a man that's got something on his mind. That's just got to be, it's got to be somehow inserted. He told me he doesn't go to any particular church. He doesn't have a pastor. He doesn't really believe in attaching himself to any church. But he's got to get the message out. We need to teach people to serve one another. We do need to teach people that. But you know what? We've been doing that in this church for 23 years. That's right. That's exactly right, Brother Rick. That was his way of saying, if you go along with him, so serve me. Got a quarter? Got a dollar? Got a five? Look, I'm not saying that to cast stones at the man, but I knew that spirit as soon as it opened its mouth. Bad breath and all. I knew that spirit. Spirit didn't want to hear preaching. Didn't want to hear sound doctrine. It didn't want to hear how to get saved. It just wanted to endure whatever it had to endure to try to get a handout. This is something deeper than a place to go get somebody to give you something. This is something greater than a social gathering. This is something greater and far more powerful than anything else on the face of the earth that does not preach repentance and remission of sins. It was necessary for everybody that believed in Jesus, that followed Him, it was necessary that they obey His plan. His plan was not, now you go and you teach everybody that the man of sin is going to appear a certain day and the nation of Israel is going to become a nation actually in the 40s and there's going to need to be a lot of teaching about the millennial reign, and we're going to have to, you guys are going to have to get it there, out there and explain to everybody the mark of the beast, and you got to make sure that everybody understands all about these things and the second coming and approximately when it'll take place and how many earthquakes will probably take place and what Russia will be doing and what'll be going on in the Middle East and what Israel will be up to, and you're going to need to keep up with exactly what's going on at the tabernacle and you're going to have to make sure that everybody understands. No, he didn't. Jesus didn't say that. He didn't say make sure that everybody takes wine, or if they don't like that, take grape juice, or if they take grape juice and don't take wine in communion, that you don't have fellowship with. Make sure everybody understands that they got to do it a certain. No. Can you imagine what would happen if Jesus had said to all these disciples, I want you to go into all the world and teach people what you believe about marriage and divorce. I want you to go into all the world and teach everybody your stand on sports. And what you think about TV and worldly amusements and anything new that's invented that has communication involved with it, you should tell them to take a stand against it, or either be for it or either disfellowship each other if you can't agree on it. No. I wonder what God, how He reacts to the church today. After all He's instructed in the Word, let brotherly love continue. All you got to do in some circles is just not pay your budget dues and you're an outcast. Depending on who you're related to. I'm not here to cast stones at any organization. I'm just here to say again, as I've said for years, look, we're the apostolic network. We're networking with people of the name of Jesus. Whether you be independent or whatever you want to call yourself and you're part of some organized group, or you're just out there in the backwoods somewhere and you kind of secluded yourself because you didn't think there's anybody else around that believed like you do, we're here to say to you, God is still on the throne. And the message is still repentance and remission of sins. And everything else can step aside. We got to get this message through. The Holy Ghost is empowering us with ways to do it. All right now, as I stand here, I'm among all nations and people are listening to this word. There are preachers listening to me. There are saints of God in churches. There are sinners, drunkards, alcoholics, harlots are listening to these words in various countries around the world. And they're hearing, you need to repent. And they don't need to respond to this message by showing up to a church where people are all divided amongst themselves over some silly issue. I've actually heard people say, if the church can't get it together, what hope is there for us? The church people can't agree with each other, can't get along with each other. They got a point there, but the truth is, whether or not they got a point is really beside the point. Whether church people get along or don't get along is beside the point. Although it's disappointing, but the instruction is still very simple. We're instructed to teach you to repent and do whatever it takes to get those sins out of your life. And you can find that in Acts 2:38. where Peter obeyed Jesus along with all those other disciples that heard his instructions. They were with him when he gave the instructions, and they went and backed Peter in saying, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even unto as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify. Now pay attention to that. He testified. Now what has he just done? The pulpit of the church and the preacher of the word with the keys to the kingdom and the call of God to start this whole thing in motion. Started it by obeying Christ, preaching repentance and remission of sins. And he taught in that lesson, in that message, that it, in order to get this remission of sins, you must be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you need the Holy Ghost. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you. The promise is unto you. And to your children and to all that are afar off. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Then what did he do? Go into teaching about end time prophecy? Or the millennium? Or what they believe about grape juice? Or what that one believes about dress and that one believes about hair? No, he testified. Let me tell you what God's done for me. I was just a lowly old sinner. I was a fisherman out there on a boat and he came walking by. Jesus came walking by. I wasn't worthy to even talk to me. I'm testifying to you. It's the same Jesus that told me to come to you and preach repentance and remission of sins. I want to testify to you that he means more to me than anything in the whole wide world. If it had not been for Jesus, I would be a lost, wretched sinner. If it hadn't been for Jesus, I would be low down and miserable in this life. If it hadn't been for the forgiving grace of Jesus Christ, I would be out there on a sea somewhere, still fishing and still sinning and still cursing and still boosting it up. But Jesus has been mighty good to this old boy. Let me testify and exhort to you, Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my God. Jesus is all that I need. That's what the world needs. We talk about what the world needs now is love. That's how we give them the love. Obey Jesus. Preach repentance and remission of sins. And then testify. Hallelujah. It's hard to testify and be mad at your brother at the same time. That's right. It's almost impossible. You think when I'm jumping around just now, visualizing in my mind how it must have been for Peter that day, you think I had aught against anybody? I wasn't even against the snake handlers. And I'm not going to start snake handling. But I've handled things worse than regular snakes. Some of these two-legged snakes are pretty tough to deal with. Let's praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let brotherly love continue. Love one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. Who is our neighbor? Well, for the organized church person that's been baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, your independent brothers and sisters are your neighbors. For the independents, those in the organized systems are your neighbors. Love them. For those that are off on some tangent about believing in different things about the end time, they're your neighbors. They're preaching repentance and remission of sins among all nations. Forgive them for the lack of understanding. don't think you're holier than they are, or higher in the eyes of God than they are. They're obeying Jesus. You obey Jesus, you do what He said, and you testify. The Holy Ghost has enough power to bring you all into the same understanding. It's Jesus that opens the understanding. And the Holy Ghost leads us into all truth. So what are we doing trying to force people to see it our way? You're not the Holy Ghost, and neither am I. And I can't open your understanding. And nobody watching me or listening to me, I don't care who you are, where you are, how much you've studied in Bible college, you can't open anybody's understanding. But Jesus can. Jesus can. Praise my Jesus. Praise my Jesus. Praise my Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We got all kinds of words here leading up to this great event that took place in Acts chapter 2. Amen. We got this man, Luke, writing a detailed account of the history of what's been going on and all that Jesus had done and what had happened concerning the crucifixion and all these things that had taken place. And then chapter 2, after he gets to explaining a lot of these things to everybody that would read. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord. They were agreeing to do what Jesus said, do. Thank you, Jesus. To obey Him. They were all of one accord. The reason they were in that place at that time is because they had been instructed to go there and wait till you get the power. A lot of us are trying to do things without waiting on the power to come. You need to get the power before you do some of the stuff. We got places in the Bible, we can read how people without the power tried to cast out devils. It won't work. Don't you try to cast devils out, you may end up being the next streaker that gets your name in the paper. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in with one accord. They were all in one place. With one accord in one place. What does it take to have a revival? That. Find a place. Now, that's a good place as any. We got the place. Now if we can get in one accord, about all there is left to do is preach repentance and remission of sin and see what happens. Make sure we got somebody to listen to us. Because that can't help but have an effect. You get a group of people like this together and we're all amen in each other, amen in the Word of God. Nobody's yawning and nobody's looking at their watch and nobody's slumped down in a seat wondering when the preacher's getting through. Everybody's saying, yes, amen, that's right. Preach it, brother, we're with you. Jesus told us to do this. He told us to shout it. He told us to proclaim it. He told us to go among all nations and teach it to everybody. We're in this with all of our hearts. I'm not the only one that needs to be yelling and jumping up and down. Hallelujah. With every point that a preacher makes that's trying to get this message out, there needs to be some loud amens coming in the background so that the whole world can see that we're in one mind. We're in one accord. We're not divided. Somebody out there needs to know that there's still a church today. That's going to do it the way Jesus said do it. Even if we do have modern things to work with. Ballpoint pens. Electric lights. Automobiles. Clothes. That have been put together and cost a lot of money. Some people say, I go to church, I just don't have any clothes to wear. Well, they're talking to you with clothes on. And probably better clothes than any of those people that were following Jesus back in these days. Thank you, Lord. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. Let me explain to you. I know this is true just as sure as I know that there's a world and there are people on it. I know this is true. That sound that came from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and filled all the place where they were sitting. All that was, it dawned on somebody in that congregation, we're in the will of God. We're doing what Jesus said to do, and it's starting to happen. All it took to ignite that whole thing was somebody say, Hallelujah! That sound that came from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind was nothing more than a group of people in one place, in one mind, in one accord, praising God. They were praising God. That's a sound that was so noisy. It got the attention of the city. People gathered around from everywhere. Wouldn't it be something if this place filled up just because we were praising God? We've had people come in here because they heard the music. We've never praised God louder than some of the music we've had here. If we could ever praise God strong enough to get that sound out and people start coming in and say, what does this mean? And somebody can stand up and say, this is that spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. What you're seeing is part of that, and it's for you too. All you need to do is repent and be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. And we're not going to let you leave till you do, because you need to be a witness about this. And we just gather around them and start praising God till they just have to get the Holy Ghost of self-defense. Hallelujah. I have been in revival like that. I've seen people drawn. It's been a long time since I've seen it exactly like this. I mean, we went out and, you know, we worked with a bunch of people and we'll probably do it again. But my batting record with working with people in these programs and in these systems, I've done it many times through my life. My batting record is not very good. You don't want to read my baseball card stats on how many people stayed with God that I brought out of jails and prisons and institutions. Some of them did. And we're not going to stop going there. But you saw the demonstration of what happens when people are inside these places confined. They can make all kinds of commitments. But the same thing that caused them to be so weak, so spineless, so cowardly, so wimpy that they couldn't live a normal life and had to depend on drugs and alcohol just to get through the day is the same thing that they face when they come out of those places. They come to church to get another new high. They think we got something here that's just going to keep them happy, keep them free. But when the word comes across, you need to repent of those sins. You need to stop your living together without being married. You need to get your act together. Put away your cigarettes and your drinking and your whoring around. And God wants to save your soul. That's repentance and remission of sins being preached. They scatter like birds. But we ain't going to stop preaching it. Hallelujah. Somebody's going to grab a hold and they're going to say, men and brethren, what shall we do? Somebody's going to get a hold of this thing. Somebody's going to get a hold of this thing. Praise Him with all your heart today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And the only way we can stop a lot of that is to get baptized in Jesus' name. But when you get baptized in Jesus' name, don't just do it because it's a thing to do, because your buddy did it. Baptism in Jesus' name is nothing more than taking a bath in somebody's water, no telling what all's in it, depending on how many got baptized, if you're not repentant. But if you repent of your sins, if 100 get baptized in that same baptism before you did, you come out of there washed clean, spotless, pure. And even if you don't have the Holy Ghost at that point, the blood of Jesus has cleansed you. And you are open for Jesus to come in, because the devils can't stay there. When you come out of that water after having repented, been baptized in Jesus' name, you're clean. If you don't stay that way, it might be because you don't have the power. You need the power. The best time to get the power is if you don't have it when you get in the water, get it before you get out of the water. Because, see, God's not going to dwell in an unclean temple. He's not going to stay in the same house with any devils. When you repent of your sins, you get baptized in the name of Jesus, all the devils go out. And the house is ready for Jesus to come in. So if he's in there, then the devils can't come back. But if it didn't happen in the waters of baptism, it can happen today. As soon as any one of you says, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command every evil spirit to get out of my life, all my tormentors, I call on the name of Jesus for support. I call on God to help me. I can't help myself. I'm sorry I'm a sinner. I'm sorry I've messed up. Then you go back to that same baptism. It kicks in again. And now you're repentant. And now you're ready again. Now receive the Holy Ghost. For the promise is yours. And then don't ever let it get away. Hang on to God with all you got. Because you're going to need Him through the tough times. You're going to need Him through the hard times. You're going to need Him through those times of sorrow and sadness. You're going to need Him in loneliness and trials and tribulations that come. Let me tell you where I stand on the tribulation period. Just for information. Not preaching right now. I just want to tell you my stand on the great tribulation. Probably make a few enemies. But you know what? Those enemies I'll make for saying this really need to become friends of God. Because if you're going to be my enemy after I say this, you're not even saved. So how can you preach to others? Because I'm going to tell you when the great tribulation is. Right now. If you can accept it, this will settle all the arguments. Jesus even gave us the answer, and it's so simple. But there are library shelves filled with books trying to explain it. But Jesus explained it. In this world, you shall have tribulation. That's where I stand on the subject of tribulation. And I've gone through great tribulation. Been going through it, haven't we, sister? Ever since I've been in this world, I've been in a tribulation period. I know that I can say for sure that I'm pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, and you name it kind of trib. Because any way you can think of tribulation, I had to call on Jesus, who was there before the tribulation, came to me during the tribulation, and was still with me after the tribulation. Hallelujah. And you can't come up with a better explanation than that. So quit getting divided over this, and let's repent of that, and let's preach repentance and remission of sins among all nations. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. One man told me, said, you know what? If Jesus doesn't come pretty soon, I'm going to have to change my whole way of teaching about Israel and about the end times. I said, why is that? He said, well, Jesus has to come in the generation when the nation of Israel was born. Look, we need to let Jesus open our understandings. For some people, it seems so difficult to come to this belief, to come to this understanding that a nation was born on the day of Pentecost. That 120 became a peculiar people, a righteous, holy nation, a royal priesthood. They became suddenly the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. Thank you, Jesus. Please, I know I can't force this on anybody, but really, we're talking about all you teenagers out there need to burn certain books and throw away certain CDs and get rid of this, get rid of that. Let me tell you what you need to fill your trash with. Your books about the end times. Because Jesus said, it's not for you to know. Preach repentance and remission of sins among all nations in my name. Praise Him, I'm right about this. If everybody else is wrong, I'm still right about this. I'm right about this because Jesus is right about this. And it's right here in this book. And it's not in all those books. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. I'm part of that nation today. I'm not waiting on the temple to be restored or rebuilt. God made me a temple of the living God. I am bought with a great price. My body has become the temple of the Holy Ghost. I'm not my own. I'm not divided with my brethren over God going to take away something from the Gentiles and go back to the Jews. Let me tell you when it all happened. It happened at the old rugged cross when all were counted under sin and all were given a command to preach repentance and remission of sins. The Gentiles and the Jews all became equal sinners. As far as God's concerned, all became outcast. But Jesus said, whosoever will may come unto me. Everybody say, whosoever will may come unto me. Let me ask you a question. Are you part of the whosoever crowd? Are you part of that? Are you a human being? I told somebody recently, God is a racist. They said, huh? Listen carefully. I said, there's one race that God today chooses right now, this moment, over every other race. Are you paying attention yet? Some of you haven't heard a thing I said till now. God is a racist. He prefers the human race. And if you're a human, you have an opportunity here. He didn't give the Holy Ghost to the animals. He didn't give the Holy Ghost to the beast. He didn't give the Holy Ghost to the birds. Although He speaks to them and they know when to do certain things. They have senses that come from God. God directs the traffic of the animal kingdom. God directs the traffic of the birds and the fish. But God gives people the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And His preferred race is the human race. I'm right about that. Amen. I'm almost to the curfew point. I said I wouldn't talk about too much. I want to get this point out because I'm going to be talking about this a lot in the next few days. And there's going to be a lot of folks here in a few weeks going to be questioning where we stand. And there's a need that we preach emphatically where we do stand on certain things. Because I'm more determined than I've ever been to open the doors for my brothers and sisters around the world. I don't care who they are, what they represent in other ways. If they're preaching repentance and remission of sin, I want to know who they are, where they are, and I want them to know I'm in this with them. Now, if other people want to divide themselves and get away from me because of that, call me a compromiser, take my card, whatever you want to do. But I'm following Jesus. Jesus said, go among all nations, preaching repentance and remission of sin. If somebody's got the Holy Ghost and is doing that, I need to try to find them and say, I'm praying for you. I love you. I'm in one mind and one accord with you. And these other issues you can settle with your own people over there before God, but let the Holy Ghost lead you. And meanwhile, I'll get on the internet and I'll preach it the way I preach it. And I'll teach it the way I teach it. And I'll believe it the way I believe it. And they can do it too. But we're not going to compromise. And if somebody out there ever hears we did, tell them to listen to this message because it's going to be up there within 24 hours. It's going to be up there. And it's going to stay up there as long as it can. Which probably long after I'm dead. I hope somebody 50 years from now, according to some people, the world won't last that long, but I believe, you know, it's not for you to know. Fifty years from now, somebody's going to say, Rutledge, I've heard of him before. I heard him. Man, he was blasting a bunch of people or something on the... It seemed like the signal was coming from Jupiter. Don't we have some kind of satellite up? Yeah, how did it get up there? He was preaching from Jupiter. See, because 50 years from now, the way technology is going, there's probably going to be every sound I'm making right now coming from some other galaxy back to Earth. All my sounds are being captured out there by all kinds of devices. There's probably spies listening to me. We had a man come amongst us a few years ago, some time ago. He was always saying, I've had something planted in me. And if he ever got started talking about that, you were stuck. You just had to listen. And I'm not against a man. He's my friend. But look, the only thing we need to acknowledge planted in us is the grace of God. The only one we need to acknowledge listening to our words and reading our thoughts and following us everywhere we go is the Holy Spirit. Then nothing else matters if they put all kinds of plants in you. So what if somebody is able to walk through the supermarket and, you know, and hold up a little something that says 666. Ooh, 666. If you're scared of 666 and you haven't repented, who taught you to be scared of 666? Yeah. All over the place, people said, 666. That's the mark of the beast. You know who the beast is? Man. Hey, I'm not preaching now. All I'm preaching is repentance and remission of sin. But I'm just doing what Luke did. He covered a lot of territory before he told us in Acts what Peter said in obedience to God. So I'm covering some territory right now. But my message is ended, and when I end it again, it'll still be the same thing. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus. You know who the beast is in the Bible? It's humanity. You know what the number of man is? It's six. And Jesus talked in Revelation with figurative numbers, and he used illustrations. Because revelation is simply the revelation of Jesus Christ. Who's going to understand Jesus Christ? The same yesterday, today, and forever. And so what John saw in the Spirit was somebody that was taking him somewhere, and he heard a voice behind him saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last, that which was and is to come, the Almighty. and what I'm going to show you and what I'm going to reveal to you, write it in a book. How do you write Alpha, Omega, beginning, end, Creator, that which was, is, always, and everything that went on through eternity concerning Christ in a book? Because that same man said in another passage, he said, I suppose all the libraries in the world couldn't contain all the books about him. And so who's going to be the one that's able to interpret every little number? But what people do, we get all divided amongst ourselves. So let me tell you what 1,000 means in Revelation. So they can tell you, you know, they get their calculators out and they discover, you know, the different dispensations, and they name all these dispensations. And I'm not against dispensational people as long as they're preaching repentance and baptism in Jesus' name. And I'm not against the nun dispensation. And I'm not against the grape juices or the wine people that take grape. Or I'm not against the marriage or divorce that have been cleansed from sin. Or the remarried 50 times as long as they found God through repentance. Now the rest of you that don't like me anymore, you go and find your own fellowship. We're talking to people that want to preach repentance. When you repent and you have your sins taken out, I don't care if you had 25 wives, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. But if you don't believe that, preach repentance and baptism in Jesus' name. And you can be on my website helping me preach. Of course, you know, the ones that throw the stones and get divided and get mad about statements like that won't want to have anything to do with me anymore. But you know what? If they don't repent of that, they won't have anything to do with me anymore. Forever. Because I'm going to hang on to obedience. Obedience to Christ. Beast is man. The mark of the beast is sin in your life. You want to get rid of the mark? Experience the seven. Then you get the name written on your thigh and across your head. King of Kings. Lord of Lords. You get to ride on the horse where the victory is. You need to conquer. You get to conquer. You get to ride high with Jesus when you trade your six in for a seven. Seven is completion with God. 6 days He made the man, but on the seventh day He rested because it was complete. It was finished. In Him there is rest for your soul. After all you've done in your life to become a good six, it's time to become a seven. And this is the rest wherein you may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing. Oh, and I love what I'm feeling right now because I hear behind me a voice saying, Amen! I hear an Amen coming from an Alpha, Omega, beginning and end, first and last, that which was and is to come, the Almighty. He said, come on now, preach it, brother! And I'm saying, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. I've worked with organizations in my life that say in their instruction manual, don't preach or teach anything to the disunity of the body of Christ. And then in the same instructions, in the same pages, where they say don't do that, don't preach anything to the disunity of the body of Christ, then they write all kinds of stupid things for the disunity of the body of Christ for us to all follow. All we need in our manuals and all of our organizations is a one page with great big letters. Teach people that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations, and keep unity among yourself. Let's all stand and praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Keep unity amongst yourself. You know what the unity of the faith is? That's when you get to the point that you truly are able to see mountains removed because you've come into the unity that these people were in when they were in one mind and in one accord, having heard the instruction to go into all this world preaching repentance and remission of sin. And when it was being preached, they were with that preacher. And you know why 3,000 souls were added to the church just a few minutes later? It's because there was no division. They came out of there excited. They came out of there still filled with joy. They didn't have all these wild, extreme beliefs on their mind. All they knew was, I have been with Jesus. Jesus has fulfilled His promise to me. Let me tell you what Jesus can do for you. He's the same for you as He is for me. I was sitting up there doing what He said to. My preacher, Peter, told us what we needed to do, and we did it. We got ourselves in one mind, one accord. Everything He said up there, we agree with. And let me tell you what happened. Since we obeyed Jesus, we've been filled with joy and happiness. And it's peace that we can't explain. And it's for you. And they didn't even hesitate. They said, come on now. You can have it. And that's the unity of the faith, where you know you're right. You know you're right. And then you lay hands on the sick, and the sick recover. And then you speak to the devils, and the devils run away. That's the unity of the faith. It comes through obedience to Christ. Praise Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. With many other words, that's where I fit in. With many other words did He testify and exhort. And He said, save yourselves from this untoward, crooked generation. You don't have to be like it. You don't have to live like you've been living. You don't have to feel like you're a slave anymore. You don't have to feel down and out anymore. There are some people in this church congregation that are going through things right now more horrible than some of the things that have caused others to have nervous breakdowns. But what are they doing today? They're just praising the Lord, saying amen to the preacher, and they know that sooner or later God's going to work it out because they got the Holy Ghost. That's what you need. If you can't pay your bills, you need the Holy Ghost. If you can't get along with your neighbor, you need the Holy Ghost. Can't stop gossiping, you need the Holy Ghost. Everybody needs the Holy Ghost, including all the preachers, all the pastors. How in the world can anybody pastor a church and not preach repentance and remission of sins? Let's all come around the front. Thank you, Jesus. In His name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, thank God you're getting to hear it again. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? Praise God, sister. Ain't it wonderful? Jesus wants us all to know that what He was, He still is. I'm not trying to impress anybody today. Look, this Word of God is behind you. If you want Christ in your life, if you want Him with all your heart, look, there is a real Spirit of God that will dwell in you. And here's the way you receive it. You repent. That's why we're preaching today. Repentance and remission of sin. Repent. How do you repent? Well, some people say, well, you need to walk on nails, crawl on glass, or do this, do that. No, you don't have to struggle to repent. Acknowledge to God that you are a sinner. You have sinned. You are in trouble. You've done wrong. And just tell Him. You don't have to do it loud. You can do it quietly. Or you can do it loud. Tell Him you're sorry you've been a sinner. Then stop repenting and start rejoicing. Because He forgives you. And in your rejoicing, remember, He inhabits the praises of His people. He forgives you when you repent. Tell Him you're sorry and mean it. Now move on and lift those hands and start praising Him. Start worshiping Him. Start giving Him the glory that's due to His name. God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And that Holy Ghost will give you power to overcome things. Power to be a witness. Power to be able to go into this whole world and say, you know, the doctor sentenced me to death. But let me tell you something. I obeyed God. I got in the waters of baptism and repented of my sins. And I determined my heart, whatever days I got left, I'm living them for Jesus. And guess what? God took the cancer out of my life. God took the heart condition away. God took my cirrhosis of the liver out. Gave me a new liver. God gave me a new heart. God settled my mind because I received the Spirit of God. Oh, you need the Holy Ghost. And from now on, if we haven't preached it a lot before, we're going to preach it more than ever. This is an Acts 2:38, repentance and baptism in Jesus' name, Holy Ghost Church. And we want the whole world to know that's what we teach. That's what we preach. That's where we stand. And anybody else that preaches that is my brother and my sister. Praise God. God brought His Word to save us. God brought His Word to wash us. Through the preaching of the Word, He washes us. He cleanses us. He makes you ready to receive His Spirit. This is a good time to receive the Holy Ghost and to be healed and have a miracle. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Send His Word to us. Thank you, Jesus.
Joy.